Hello everyone, welcome back to episode 98. Hope you are well. Thank you so much as always for all of you that have left me a review. I'm very grateful. If you haven't done already, the second draw, so the quarter two draw, is now open for a free one-to-one. So go and leave me a review on Apple Podcasts to be in that. I'm going to draw it on the 1st of July, I think it is. What are we in now? April, May, June? Yeah, 1st of July. If you've not already, come and join us on Instagram at Empower State and join us in the Facebook group, which is Empower State Community. We've had quite a few new members this week, so welcome if you are new to the group. I hope you're enjoying it. And if you're not, send me a request and I will let you in. So this week, I am going to be talking about how you are in a superposition to manifest, and I'm going to get straight into it because it's pretty fucking deep, I'm not going to lie. So this is not one that you'll want to have on in the background. This is one where you might need to listen to it twice, or you might need to go and do a little bit more research afterwards. It's going to be a bit of a science lesson. So something that I geek the fuck out on is quantum physics. Like, I cannot get enough of it. And that is not because I have a particular love of science. I mean, I could not tell an amoeba from a nucleus if it slapped me in the face. It's because I love learning about quantum science, because it expands your awareness of the true nature of reality and just how fucking powerful you really are. So for that reason, I cannot get enough of it, and I hope to inspire you to also go down this little rabbit hole that is going to benefit you greatly. Now, if my old secondary school teacher in physics, shout out to Dr. Bula, who made it very clear that he thoroughly disliked me all the way through, had taught me any of this, then I would have shown a lot more interest in his incredibly dull lessons, and perhaps he would have thought of me as less of a useless, annoying little bastard. But while he was teaching me the old-fashioned physics, I think I must have known all along that there must be something more exciting to learn, and I was absolutely right. And that thing is quantum physics. So today I want to share with you a little bit more about quantum physics with you in the context of manifestation. And like I said, hopefully you will be more interested in it, enough to go off and learn some more about it, because there's some very fascinating breakthroughs being made in this field that are going to affect us all when it comes to creating the life that we dream of. So I'm going to start by talking about something called the double slit experiment, which is just so fascinating, at least to me anyway. And if you do want to know more, I would recommend watching a YouTube video, which I'll link in the show notes below. And it's with a professor called Jim Al-Khalili, who explains it with more visuals and significantly less ADHD. So here we go. Now, I am about to perform a daring feat here, because for somebody who struggles to tell a story about me going to the shop and back without getting very distracted, it's going to be a bit of a challenge. But I have made some notes, and I'm going to briefly explain to you this double slit experiment. I reckon it'll take me between 5 and 10 minutes, but you're definitely going to want to hear it because it is wild. And you might have heard of it before, you might not, and in order for me to talk about the rest of what I'm talking about today, you need to know about this experiment. So imagine that you have got a source of light. So it could be something like a torch shining directly at a screen, and that screen has got two slits in it. So just to help you with the visual, think of the screen as like a flat piece of MDF board that's standing about 3 feet away from a wall. And that screen has got two parallel horizontal slits, and they're about the size of like where you'd put a video if you're old enough to remember the days of Blockbuster and VHS. So there's one above another, equally spaced. So now imagine that one of those slits is taped up. So it's covered up with tape and nothing can get through it. And so that light that's shining through is going through just one of the slits. So the slit itself becomes almost like a second light source from the other side. So you just see the glow of the light on the wall behind the screen. It's brighter in the middle and faded near the edges, like you would expect, because light travels in waveform and it spreads out. So if you were to drop a pebble in a pond, like a still pond, it would create that ripple effect of little waves. That's the same as light, and those waves will fade away towards the edges. Now, if you were to drop two pebbles next to each other into a still pond, they would each create their own circle of ripples, the waves, and at some point, those waves would interfere with each other and they would create a new pattern. And that's the same for the light. So when you peel the tape off the second slit, the light waves will both create their own little ripples and they'll interfere with each other. And what you see on the other side is a series of horizontal parallel lines, almost as if the light's shining through like a Venetian blind. So I hope you've got that visual. So one slit, it just creates light on the wall that fades out because it's just one wave of light. Two slits creates two separate waves which interfere with each other, and as a result it creates a pattern that looks a bit like light shining through a Venetian blind. So quite a few horizontal lines, one on top of the other. So that's called the interference pattern. And it's where the light waves are interfering with each other, causing some of them to be like brighter and some of them to be cancelled out. So that's why you get like light, dark, light, dark, light, dark. Now that on its own is weird enough to me, because without that knowledge I would have just thought it would just be two sections of light. But apparently, scientifically, that's not weird at all. It's just a property of light, and that's something that was explained a couple of hundred years ago. But the key point here is that when you do that with light, it behaves that way consistently. So that's just what happens over and over again. So now, using that same model, just imagine that you're tipping the whole thing on its side so that the MDF screen becomes like a tabletop and the wall becomes like the floor. Same experiment, but this time using particles of sand instead of light. So those sands, that bucket of sand is poured over the centre of these two slits. So just a bucket of dry sand poured over the two slits. Some sand will go through one side, some will go through the other, and because it's sand and it behaves differently to light, as we all know, on the other side of the screen you're going to find two fairly equal piles of sand, because sand doesn't travel in waves and there's no interference and no weird pattern. It's just pile of sand there and another pile of sand there. Because of the way that particles behave, they don't interfere with each other. They might touch each other, but they don't create any weird patterns. So right, where are we up to? This is very hard to focus on which bit's which. Right, so tip the screen back up now in your mind, and we're going to talk about the really wild stuff now, which is atoms. So atoms is what everything's made of, matter. What the couch that you're sitting on is made of, what you're made of, what your pet's made of, what the MDF board is made of, whatever you drive is made of. Everything's made up of atoms. All matter is made up of atoms. So there's something called an atom gun. Now, I don't own one personally. I would like to, after learning about this a few years ago. But this same experiment has been performed with an atom gun. And just for the purpose of the visual, imagine it like a paintball gun with absolutely tiny neon paint pellets that are like grains of sand. And each of those pellets is an atom. I feel like that just makes it easier to get the picture in your mind. Getting a double whammy here with this podcast, because I'm really helping you to practice your visualization skills as well. So the board's back upright. It's against 3 foot away from the wall. It's got the two slits in it, and you're behind it with this paintball gun full of tiny little atom paintballs. Yeah? Right. So you tape up one of the slits again, like the beginning with the light, and you start firing loads of these atom paintball pellets through, and you start to see them creating a line where they're coming through as expected, behaving in a similar way to the sand. So then when you peel the tape off, you would expect to see the atoms create a second line, but they don't. What you see is lots of horizontal lines, as if they're behaving like the wave pattern, and it's creating the same pattern as the interference pattern. So lots of horizontal lines parallel above each other. How bizarre, because these are not light waves, these are particles, they're atoms. Okay, so that's strange. Now, apparently, this could be rationalized by scientists, I don't know how, but apparently they're fine with that. They've got no issue. It wasn't what they were expecting, but they think, oh, well, this could be for this reason or another. This now continues to get more and more bizarre from this point. So if you've tuned out a little bit, tune back in, because this is where it gets wild. So the scientists decided to send the atoms through one at a time to remove that interference, because I think they assumed that because they've sent all the atoms through at once, that they'd interfered in some way, creating this interference pattern, even though they didn't quite understand what was going on. So they removed the interference and they sent them through one at a time. Yeah. So it would make sense for them to behave like sand if they were put through one at a time. So they tried it, but slowly, one after another, they put one through, another one, another one. They observed that the atoms created an interference pattern again, even though there was no interference. Almost as if the atoms were deciding where to place themselves, like they were aware that there were two slits and they were working together and independently to put themselves into the right spots. Very strange, but it gets stranger, much, much stranger than that. So here is where it gets really interesting. Now, if you're totally confused, don't worry, because I am going to link a YouTube video so that you can see it visually, because it's quite difficult to get your head around if I'm just explaining it with words. So the scientists decided that to try and figure out what was going on and why the atoms were making this interference pattern when they were sending them through the slits one by one, they placed an atom detector in to spy on these atoms, right? So they put this atom detector in, which was sitting just above the top slit, so that it would beep when it detected an atom going through the top slit and it wouldn't beep when they went through the bottom. So they sent the atoms through again whilst watching them one at a time like before, and 50% of them beeped, showing that they were going through the top slit, and 50% didn't beep, showing that they were going through the bottom. But this time, because they were being watched, guess the fuck what? They didn't create an interference pattern like they did before. Nothing has changed. All that's happened is they're being watched. Now, they created two lines, which was what the scientists had been expecting in the first place. No interference pattern. Exactly the same experiment. Only difference was that there was a detector in there. So the atoms were being spied on. And as a result, it seemed like they fucking knew they were. Like they knew they were being spied on. And they acted as if they were expected to do in the first place, that they would make two lines to go with the two slits instead of that pattern. So at this point, as you can imagine, the scientists were like, what the actual fuck is going on here, guys? This is absolutely mental. They probably didn't say it like that, but I'd imagine that they were very shocked. So they decided, because they'd noticed that this had only happened once the atoms were being observed, to try and trick the atoms by doing one last bizarre test. So they left the detector in there, as they had done before, and they snuck over to the detector's plug and they unplugged it. So the scientists assumed that the atoms would think they were still being spied on, but actually they weren't being spied on because it was unplugged. And guess the fuck what? They went back to the weird interference pattern because they knew that nobody was watching them. Clever little bastards. So they repeated this over and over. Every time they were being observed, they fell into line and they did what they were expected, to go through the slits and to land in two separate lines that matched up with those parallel slits. And when they weren't being watched, even when the scientists thought they were being tricky and had left the detector in but unplugged it, they did something else. Now, there is no way that this can be explained with logic and with traditional physics. Can't be explained. So basically, when something is being observed, it acts in one way, and when it's not being observed, it acts in different ways, right? Now, I've got one more for you. I'm sorry, stay with me. This one is a lot shorter and it's much simpler to get your head around. It's still absolutely mind-blowing, but it's simpler to understand and shorter. So this one is just a hypothetical experiment called Schrödinger's cat. Now, I just want to make this very clear from the start, from one cat lover to hopefully another, that this was purely hypothetical, and Schrödinger did not do this to his beloved cat because that would have been very cruel. So Schrödinger imagined putting his cat inside a locked, and I assume soundproof, box with a device that had a 50% chance of killing the cat in an hour. And then that was it. After the hour was up, nothing would happen. So it might have gone off. I don't know what the device was that he was thinking of, or it might not. And there was 50% chance of it going off, 50% chance of it not. And then when the hour was up, that was it. So he posed the question at the end of that hour, while the box is still closed and we've not seen the cat, what is the state of the cat? Is it dead or is it alive? Now, obviously, common sense would lead us to say, well, the cat's either dead or alive. But that's not correct, because according to quantum physics, the cat is equal parts dead and alive simultaneously, because it's in a superposition. It's just a blur of possibility because nothing has been observed. So the cat in that moment, after the timer has ended, but the lid is still closed, the cat is just as much dead as it is alive. It's not one or the other. It's both. How fucking crazy is that? So you're probably by this point either asleep or thinking, what the fuck is the point of this science lesson? So that is called superposition. It's a phenomenon where things are in multiple states at the same time. And this is important to us because it rips apart this old notion that we've all been brought up on, that things are fixed and that we have no influence over them, and that we're a victim to our circumstances and the way things are. And that is just simply not true, and it's proven to be not true now. You are the creator of the reality that you experience. Superposition is just a fancy way to explain that all possibilities are happening right now and they're happening simultaneously. And until we observe the outcome, and I'll explain a bit more about that in a minute, everything is happening all at once and the outcome is fluid because we have not decided, we've not observed the outcome that we're having. So when we use visualization, we're tapping into superposition by imagining all possible outcomes for ourselves before they manifest into reality. And it doesn't mean they're all positive. We manifest things that we don't want, as we all know, by thinking about them and creating them in our mind. So while you're visualizing something, you can move from one thing to another. So like, we'll just do a little experiment now. Imagine where you are right now. Like, look around you and see that one. Now close your eyes. Imagine yourself holding a yellow daffodil and smelling it. Now imagine that you're at a fun fair and you're about to lick an ice cream. Now imagine that you are in the jungle and it starts to rain on you. Now imagine that you are stroking a giant pink elephant. Like, these are all things that your mind is able to produce, and that's because they are all existing simultaneously. And I know that sounds like some of those examples were a little bit bizarre, but everything that's in your imagination is a possibility that is existing all the time, simultaneously, right now. So, where was I up to? What was I saying then? All right, yeah. So, what that means is that you can move from one to another thing, and nothing is fixed until you decide on what you're having. And therefore, you observe it and you experience it in your 3D experience, which is why your consciousness is so important. So in quantum physics, superposition is when things are behaving in different ways simultaneously. So like the atoms are behaving in two different ways, depending on the observation of them. So in manifestation terms, that observation that has the power to collapse and create a specific outcome is equivalent to our focused attention, our expectation, our intentions, our belief in a desired outcome. So the observation is us focusing on it, expecting it, believing in it, right? So the scientist is actually watching it. We are expecting it, we're putting our attention on it, we're focusing on it, we are putting our belief in it. That's our observation in manifestation terms. And that is what allows us to actually experience something with our 3D senses, experience that specific reality of our choosing. I'm just going to stop for a second and let that soak in. In fact, I'll just repeat a bit of that. So in manifestation terms, that observation that the scientists were doing is the same as us focusing our attention, expecting something, having belief in it, trusting it, acting as if it's done in our desired outcome. That is our observation. And that is what allows us to actually experience a specific reality that we've chosen. Does that make sense? Right, so just think about those atoms that are flying around and landing on that background in an interference pattern until they were observed by the scientists who had expectations of what they would do and beliefs about what they would do. And then they did what the scientists expected. They formed into two lines. So those scientists collapsed those possibilities and observed one of them through expectation, through belief, through watching what they were doing. And they conformed to that expectation, they conformed to the belief, and so they produced the outcome that the scientists expected, but only as a result of that observation. Before that observation was happening, they were doing all kinds of shit. They were doing different things. They had more than one possibility. The same applies with your life. You are the observer. You observe through your intention, through your expectation, through your beliefs. Nothing is fixed. Absolutely nothing. There is no fixed outcome. How amazing is that? And how amazing is it that this is scientifically proven by quantum physicists? Like, wow, this is not just like woo-woo bullshit. This is facts. Nothing is fixed, and you create the outcome through your observation, which looks like intention, expectation, belief. So life is like a coin that is being flipped into the air, and it just constantly flies around in the air, and it only lands once you decide on which side you're going to see. But while it's still spinning in the air, while you've not made a decision, while you've not aligned with something, while you've not made it true, it's flipping and spinning in the air, and it's everything all at once. It's heads and tails and heads and tails and heads and tails. And for other things that have got more possibilities, more outcomes, it's flipping and spinning, and it's all of them at once. So that's really important that we understand that concept, that nothing is fixed. All possibilities exist right now. We've got to get our head around that. All versions of your reality are happening right now in this present moment. You're choosing the one that you're experiencing with your 3D senses because you are a vibrational match to it. Nothing has happened in the past and nothing will happen in the future, according to quantum physics. And that's because they just don't exist. They simply do not exist. Linear time, like past and future, is nothing but a little concept that we've created for our limited brains to make sense of what's actually happening. And what's actually happening is that everything exists all at once, and you're choosing what to experience. So when you choose a new reality and step into alignment with it through your expectation, through your belief, through your decision making and your actions, you collapse all of the other possibilities and you experience a new one instead. So you don't have to wait 10 years to buy your dream home. You don't have to spend 5 years building up a side hustle so you can leave your job. You can have whatever you want as soon as you accept that that's your reality. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not for a second saying that it's easy to do. It's not. It's complicated to get past our blocks. No, it's not complicated, but it can be difficult to get past our blocks because we've all got very deep-rooted beliefs and skewed understandings and limitations that a lot of them haven't even come from us that will block us from having that experience that we desire unless we choose to do something about them. But what I'm saying is that it's possible and it's actually quite simple. It's not that hard technically to do. because everything is just a possibility that's waiting for you to make it into a reality. There's no need for all of this time and this space to be between us and what we desire. It's simply a shift in our belief and what we choose to experience as our reality. So if you decide to overcome those things that are blocking you, then there is no reason that you cannot have the reality that you have, that you want to have right now, because that's all that exists right now, is the only thing that exists. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope you found that useful. I talked about some rather mind-bending concepts there, and I almost didn't make this episode because I don't want it to be overwhelming, but I also feel like it's really important that people understand that reality is not as it seemed in the past. It's not necessarily what we have been taught, and those blocks that we have created are not real. You are empowered to create the life that you dream of when you know how to do it. So I hope that you have found it useful. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful week and create some fantastic quantum shit, and let me know what you get up to. I'll see you over on Instagram and the Facebook group, and I will speak to you next week. See you later.